Well, amen anyhow. Amen. Every one of them songs were sung for a purpose tonight. Because God has shown me that the body of Christ is not marching forward in victory like we're supposed to. So much doubt and unbelief running around all of a sudden. People wanting to quit the church because there's problems out there. It's not God's problem that there's fault there's problems out there. It's a lot of it's ours because we don't pray. You know, and God will say we're free and we walk out of here and bound as ever. We don't believe his voice. Come on, guys. We've got to start moving. We have to start doing something. We just can't keep sitting. We have to, you know, you go home and you shout and yell at the dog. You know, so won't you shout and yell at the devil? I shouted at my dog yesterday. So that's why I said that. So why don't we use that same voice and shout at the devil and make him bow his knee? There's a lot of negativity in the atmosphere right now. A lot. And if you're really walking in the spirit, you feel it really bad. Sometimes I think it's me. And, you know, it's not really me, but I really, that's how strong it is. Church, we have to go forward. We can no longer sit still. We can't. And we can't be having odd against one another. We've got to love each other, you know, in all their flaws and everything else. And God is calling us to be, you know, righteous people, holy people, walking in the world, but not of the world, right? But we aren't doing that. We go out to, not everybody now, but, you know, the body of Christ goes out, they do one thing in church, and they go out there and they act just like the world. And that's that God's going to talk about that. He said, to be or not to be. But, you know, before we get into that, though, don't put that up there yet. You know, because we have not yet made up our mind who we're walking with. Church, do you understand the Bible says very few is going to find a gate? In other words, very few is going to make it to heaven. And yet we're sitting here thinking we do whatever we want to do, and we're not headed for heaven at all. We really need to search our souls deep every day and make sure we're doing the things, the mighty things that God has called us forth to do. Amen. Saying all that, I'm going to say this. We have new people in the church, and we have a rule here. I don't allow anybody to pray for anybody. I don't care who you are. You don't lay hands on anybody. There's been some complaints of people are walking up and praying for them, and I don't want that to happen. You know, if somebody needs prayed for, God will tell me they need prayed for, and we'll pray for them. But otherwise, keep your hands to yourself, please. It's just, and you know, because there's some religious spirits in here, and they're trying to act out, and I'm trying to be loving and kind, you know, till you get those things out of you. But if it keeps up, I'm going to have to confront, because I don't want your religious spirits messing up the people who have worked really long and really hard to be set free. You know, even in your own home, don't let everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry, I don't care if you're brother, sister, mother, don't let everybody lay hands on you and pray for you. You know, you try their fruit and the fruit's not good, just tell them, no, thank you. I'm already covered by the blood of Jesus and I don't need you to lay hands on me. Because while they're laying hands on you, if they have a religious spirit, demonic beings are being transferred into you. We've always, I don't know how long we've been, 40 years, but we've never allowed that to happen, and I'm not going to allow it to happen now, and it's starting to happen. So if somebody walks up to you and says, I'm going to pray for you, say, no, no, thank you. I don't need prayer. Because God will cover us when we need covered. And I know that sounds hard, but you know what? Jesus expects us to cover the sheep. And, you know, if you have a religious spirit and you want to act out, that's on you in your home or wherever. But don't act out in the church and don't act out on the people who are really trying to follow God. Amen. You know, I just want to say something here right now. I've been saying something. You know, don't you get tired of people judging the way you look? Well, I ran across something last night that really, really blew my mind. This young lady, pretty, very pretty. She had a sore in her nose, inside of her nose. She kept going to the doctors until the doctors told her it was ingrown hair. And this went on for months. And she kept going to the doctor. Well, then one doctor called her and said, it's cancer in your nose. So they started going and cutting a little bit of her nose off, you know, inside here and there. And then finally, you know, and it kept getting worse, you know, because, you know, your nose leads right up into your brain, and that cancer would very soon be in her brain and kill her. And she had a husband, I think three children, at least two, but I think it was three. And so she went to the doctor this day, and they were planning on going in there and cutting a little bit of her nose off again. And she said, take it all off. And the doctor said, are you sure? She said, yes. Because if not, it's going to kill me. So they cut her nose all off. And when she came out of surgery, she thought, but at the whole time, she said God was with her, okay? And then when she came out of surgery this one day, and you know, after they cut it off, she said, I wonder what my husband will do. When she came out of surgery, and he looked at her and he said, you're as beautiful today as you were the day I married you. She had no nose. Then I showed a picture of her, you know, later on when she healed. She has no nose. It's just a big hole there. And they go out in public, you know, and they eat in restaurants, and they do their shopping and everything. She's, people stare at her, and she's so pretty, too. But people stare at her, and they'll come over and they say, well, we're really sorry, or how did this happen, and this and that and the other. But her husband stayed by her side. Now, don't you get you know what I get tired of? Saying, well, they're too fat. You know, they're too ugly. You know, this man married this girl, and she was beautiful. But now she has no nose, just a hole in her face. She has to be very careful of everything she does because that's just a big hole there. But her husband's there for her. So what are you marrying, flesh? You have to ask yourself that, right? When we look at people, what are we looking at, flesh? Or are we looking in at the heart? And what kind of heart does a person have inside? Are we looking at the person through our fleshly eyes and our perversions? Or are we looking at people through God's eyes and seeing them as God sees them? How many divorces you hear happen because, all right, the wife got too heavy, the husband got too heavy, you know, I just can't stand the way he breathes, or, you know, I don't even like to do weddings because they don't last anymore. Because people just, they marry the person claiming they're going to live with them the rest of their life, and then they, I don't know, after a while they just want somebody else, I guess. I don't know what they do. This just really did something to me when I read this story and saw it. The body of Christ is not right. We don't associate with people for the right reasons. You're too old. You're too young. You're too wrinkled. You know, you're too fat. Yeah, I don't like the way you snore at night. You know, all these excuses we use, and we're supposed to love our brothers and our sisters, right? So anyhow, I throw that out there. You can think about it on your way home tonight. All right, dear Brett, what if your wife just all of a sudden had no nose and all she had was a hole in the middle of her face? I don't think we can really picture that unless we really see it. And I couldn't find it the second time. I was going to get the picture and print it out. Because, you know, I was reading it where she had her nose cut off. And, you know, but then whenever she showed her picture, I thought, wow, I did not picture it like that. I don't know how I pictured it. But all your nose, this is a big hole there in your middle of your face. Think about this. What would you do if your husband or your wife? Okay, think about this too. I think I'm on a binge here. Men who go overseas and fight for us, you know. While they're over there, their wives are out running around another man. Or else, you know, they divorce them while they're over there. Or else whenever they come home, they're ball blown to pieces. And the wife says, I can't deal with that. That person's blown to pieces already is devastated. Everything in that man is destroyed. And then you have the woman you thought loved you, you know, look at you like you're a piece of junk and walk away from you. What are we doing? What are we doing, church? What are we doing? We're not loving as Christ loves. We're not on the same wavelength as God at all. Well, anyhow, I'll get off of that. But I really want you to think about this. You know, what if one of you went out here tonight and you had a car accident and just say your leg was cut off? How would your family, you know, accept that? I mean, I know some of you wives in here, you've been a twit with your husbands. You didn't like this about them, don't like that about them. The same way with the husband, don't like this about you, don't like that about you. Come on. Same person you married. You just didn't look deep enough. All right? And you didn't see God's face. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for everyone that came out to listen to me go on a binge tonight. But really, we came out, Father God, to sit in your presence and to hear your voice tonight. And Father, I want you to send your Holy Spirit so strong in here that tonight that lives will be totally and completely changed. And Father, as I was coming here, you told me to bring the angels ahead of me and have them posted inside this church, which I did. So, Father God, whatever you want these angels to do, Father, have your perfect way within each and every one of us. And, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe I'm on a binge because God's on a binge right now. Let's go ahead and do this, Nancy. This is what God said. To be or not to be is a question of the hour. To be a holy, righteous, committed child of God or walk in the darkness. Do you not understand the lateness of the hour? Do you not understand that souls are slipping into the abyss every day? This is God speaking. Why can you not understand this concept about the kingdom of light? I have been instructing you with my word for over 2,000 years. The church has been instructed to be different than the world. But that is not what is happening. The church has a mentality of God doesn't really mean what he says. Another big problem in the body is that it thinks it can love the world and God simultaneously. And you can't do that. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what Paul says to us. When we conform to the world, we agree with it and walk in its ways, and we all know that. Anything not of God is of the world. How many people do you know that have homes and they say they're a Christian, but you go into their homes and it's not Christian? The people aren't acting like God, you know, and the stuff that's in the house is not godly. And, you know, there's drugs, there's drinking, there's extramarital sex, there's all kind of perversion. And yet you see, I'm a child of God. That's not true. The world is, the church is deceived into believing they can be like the world and still follow God, but they can't. Let's go on and read some more scriptures here. The world is temporary, and those who chase after its finite pleasures and treasures can too easily fall prey to its illusion and turn from what really matters, which is God in his holy kingdom. Let's talk about smoking cigarettes. Don't get under condemnation, all right? You know, cigarettes are a god to most of the church. It always surprised me when I became, it didn't surprise me before I came born again, but after I became born again, it surprised me to go to church and see the people in there acting like they were so godly, walk outside the door and smoke, everybody lighting up a cigarette and cussing. But to just come out of the house, I could never understand that. This is why you don't see the world come into the church, because the world doesn't understand that either. Do you understand that? I don't know about you, but when I go to church, I want to see people acting like God. All right, 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See that? If you love cigarettes, then that's of the world. If you smoke pot, everybody makes excuses why they can smoke pot nowadays. It just blows my mind. And you really, truly, all pot does is get you high, because I see it all the time. It's not a godly thing. Well, it helps my aches and pains. Jesus would like to help your aches and pains. Now, I'm saying that because, you know, you all know I've got problems in my body. And I never, ever, ever, ever took medicine of any kind. Then the pain got so bad, I started taking a leave every now and then. And then one day I said, you know what? My problem's still there. This leave is just sort of coating it over. And it also is fogging up my brain. So I quit taking them all together. And guess what? God's taken that pain away. It's there, but it's not like as severe like it was. When I really trusted God, he took that real severe pain where I couldn't even hardly motivate away. And I think it's the same thing with drugs, too. You know, if you can trust God, if you really truly trust God, he'll take those drugs away from you. You know, he'll take whatever's making you take drugs away from you. But we don't trust him. We don't really trust him. All right, then in verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See that? You see that all over the church. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. How many of you just sometimes, you know, you're in so much pain, say, God, just take me on home. Get me out of this mess. And I'm quite sure that's what Jesus said, too. I don't want to go to the cross, Father. Get me out of this. But not his will, but not our will, but his will be done, right? Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We're getting ready to go into a depression, you know, not much food. And God told us that it was coming, but if we trusted him, he would take care of us during that time. Now, how many of you really believe that? Or how many of you were, oh, what am I going to feed my family? You know? We have to start trusting God with all of our heart in every area of our life. And we have to live for him 100%. Remember he told me when I first started, I don't want 99. I want 100% of you. I don't want anything. Are you listening here? Jesus also says in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, just stop and think about what you have in your home, ladies and men. If a tornado comes through, what happens? It's all gone in a blink of an eye. But we covet these things, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, I just told my family the other day, all this junk, right now I'm calling it junk, if a tornado come through, it would be gone in a wink of an eye. Then you wouldn't have nothing. So we need to quit worrying about these things we have in our homes, and we need to start thinking about our walk with the Father. How deep is it? God, I'm hearing God say, how deeply rooted is it? And how sincere are you at staying in that walk? All right? Jesus is saying, push aside the cares, the passions, and concerns of the earthly life and focus on our eternal life in heaven with the Father. How many of you are all of a sudden starting to think more about making sure you make it to heaven than you are even about keeping a job? There's just something inside of you saying, I've got to get this right and keep it right. Because, you know, a job isn't going to do me anything if I go to hell. Well, it's not going to do you anything in heaven either. But, you know, we need to start focusing on Jesus more than we do anything else in the world. And I'm not saying quit living. I didn't say that. I didn't say quit your jobs. I'm saying we still are in the world, but we need to start focusing more on Jesus. Instead of talking about the things of the world, we should be talking about the things of Jesus. People do like to hear about what you have, but why should they? They should hear us talking about Jesus more than anything else, right? We cannot focus on both, you and the world and God. Jesus warns in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do that. I don't care who tells you you can. Right there, the word tells us we can't, right? What does it mean to conform to the world? It means to fashion, pattern, or style after. To be similar or identical, to be in agreement or harmony with, and to act in accordance with. You know, you men, why is there so much competition between men? You know, why are you trying to make it one up? You know, you're God's son. And so you don't care what anybody else is like. As long as you remain God's son and as long as you're following him, that's all that matters. You know, and God will prosper you. He really will. I'm not going to go into women. All right. When we conform to the world, we mimic it, agree with it, and walk in its ways. In effect, we put the world above God in our grand hierarchy of importance. Isn't that what the church is doing? They put the world first and God second. Now, not everybody. But God started this out. What did he say? This is all God. This is why this is put together. He said, to be or not to be is a question of the hour. I thought, wow, where's this going? You know? And then to be a holy, righteous, committed child of God or walk in the darkness. Then the light bulb went off. I knew what God was saying to us. You need to ask yourself that same question. Are you going to be holy or are you going to walk with the devil? I've lost my place. All right, that and whenever we do the things of the world, that in essence is idolatry. And Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a first and great commandment. God also placed that first in the Ten Commandments that he gave to his people in the wilderness in Exodus 22:3. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Do you know a religious spirit is a god? God has said religion is out the window. He told us a couple years ago. He said it is spirit calls the spirit or it's nothing. You cannot have a religious spirit and go to heaven. That's what God said. I didn't say that. And we can see how God moves by his spirit. And a religious spirit doesn't know how to act with that. It twists and turns things. But the Spirit of God does not twist and it does not turn. The Spirit of God stays true every time. All right, 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And first, you know, idolatry could be where you think you're so important, where you want to be seen. God had to break me not of that. I never wanted to be seen, so I'd always sit in the background, and I really didn't want anybody to call me to, you know, this is after I started preaching. I didn't want anybody to call on me to preach. I didn't want anybody to call the other church because I didn't want to be seen. And God said, that's not me. Yeah, that's not him. He said, I called you into the ministry. You're going to have to be seen. Are you listening here? But a lot of people just want to be seen. No spirit in them. They just want to be up front. They want to be seen. Look at me. And a lot of people have charisma. And you know, and people will follow charisma like you wouldn't believe. I don't have charisma, as you all know that. But you know, I'm saying to you tonight, if you're really following God, you won't want to be seen. What you want to do is you'll say, whenever I go up there, Lord, let them only see Jesus. And then let Jesus work through you. 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. You can't sit in here and be a drug addict and say that you're sitting at the table of God. God wants to free you of all that stuff. See, when you first learn about Jesus, you're not cleaned up. You're still you. You just learned that there is a Jesus who loves you. And then what you do is you start loving Jesus, and then he little by little cleans you up. And, you know, I would like for him to yank everything out of people immediately, but he said that would kill them. I have to clean them up line upon line and precept upon precept. So I'm not saying that you can't go to heaven when you're first saved. I didn't say that. I'm just saying that that we know there's a lot of people God instantly, because they're already out there preaching, he instantly yanks everything out of them. And they don't go back. They're out there preaching in the spirit, winning souls for God. But there's other people, for some reason or other, God cleans them up little by little. Maybe you have too much pride in you, and God's trying to kill the pride along the process of emptying you out. You know, I don't know. That's between you and God. Okay, so I said, you cannot drink the cup of the world and the cup of demons. This means we cannot put the world's morals, people, or desires above or on the same level as God. God tells us he is a jealous God in Exodus 25. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. You know, if you're going to put other things before God, then he says right here, he doesn't like that. God has to come first place in your life. Some people put their children before God. They make their children gods. And God doesn't like that either. He just spoke to me about that the other day, about somebody that they have made their child a god. And he's not happy with that. All right, loving the world, conforming to the world, is idolatry and will incite God's wrath. It is important to be transformed in Jesus. And Paul writes to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, we see that a lot where that does not happen. You know, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. So a lot of people sit in the house of God and they're not in Christ. You see, this is what this is saying. And so if you're really in Christ, if you're really, you know, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and really working really hard at getting yourself cleaned up, then you're a child of God. Because slowly but surely, and some of us wish he'd work faster, old things are passing away and all things are becoming new. All right. All right, we are to reject the worldly life and cling to what is to come. In John 12:27 says, now my soul is troubled. This is Jesus speaking. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. He's saying, I can't ask you to save me from the cross, because that's why I came to this world, to go on the cross, right? Then he says, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Remember, Jesus was glorified before. Now, when he goes to the cross, God will glorify him again. How many of you say, God, please get this stuff away from me. Please don't make me go through the rest of this assignment. You know, just give me another assignment. Give this into somebody else, you know. Jesus' words were clear. Let the will of God in heaven be done, not the will of the world. And if you read the scriptures before this, the world was telling Jesus, if you're the Son of God, then, you know, don't go through this. And that's why he says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? All right, we are citizens of heaven in John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I'm going to read that again. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You get that in your spirit, Aaron. That's a scripture for you tonight, God says. How many of you sometimes say, well, how come everybody treats me bad? You know, when you go to the stores or whatever, you know, whatever. How come everybody treats me? I'm just as nice as I can be. Yeah, I haven't done anything wrong, but they treat me like I'm a dog. But then somebody beside you is very, very worldly. They treat them like they're your God themselves. Have you ever had that happen? You know, it's because they're of the world and you are not. So the world's going to hate you. You know, and that is the truth. Philippians 3:17 says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Brethren, join in following my example, Paul said, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. In other words, he's saying, watch how people walk. Check their fruit out. And Paul said, you have us for a pattern because we're walking in Christ. We're giving you a picture of Jesus, all right? For many walk, Paul says, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're in the church, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. These are people sitting in the house of God right alongside of us. And this is why the world doesn't want what we try to give them, because they have it better, really, than what we're trying to give them. Paul says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. God is working on us continually, making us just like his son, Jesus. All right. Then God's, now this is God speaking again, to say with your mouth that you are mine is one thing, but what does your fruit say? God said, if you are truly mine, you will put away all earthly pleasures and desires, and you will take up your cross and follow me. You'll throw away that cigarette. I'm picking on you guys that are smoking. You'll throw away that pot, you know. If you're truly mine, you will put away all, you will put away that extra food, that glutton that you are. And you read, what'll go to hell? A glutton will go to hell. All right. I have spoken and I will not relent, God says. Follow me wholeheartedly or follow the world wholeheartedly. There is no mixture in my word. He's saying, you either follow me or just go ahead and follow the world. Have a good time while you're following the world, because if you're trying to do both, you're going to be miserable. So make up your mind what you're going to do. God said, I am calling out to those who have stood the test of time. Tonight, he's calling out to those who have stood the test of time. The enemy is on the prowl once again, seeking whom he may devour. Stay close to the cross and do not give into the wiles of the evil one. And how many of you know that the devil's after you again? He's trying to take you back into your old mindset. You're going to have to keep fighting and don't let him take you back there. I fight just like y'all fight. I've been fighting like crazy here this past week. And God always says, he told me, daughter, you're not the only one in the boat. You know, we're all in the same boat. And we need to quit fighting one another and we need to start rowing together. Amen. And so we can get to where God would have us to be very, very quickly. Your true identity is in me, God says. Do not allow the world to tell you otherwise. My word and my glory are your security blanket. I thought that was cute. Against the wiles of the world. Stay wrapped in the blood that was shed so freely for your freedom from this world, and never once allow the world to sway you. Let's read that again. My word and my glory are your security blanket against the wiles of the world. Stay wrapped in the blood that was shed so freely for your freedom from this world, and never once allow the world to sway you. So God told me a couple years ago, never forget the blanket of blood. So when he says here, our security blanket, his word and his glory, now I say, okay, God, I'm going to wrap myself in the blanket of blood along with the glory and along with your word, and I'm going to stay secure in you. You know, we have to do what the word says, right? And if we do, if God says that's our security blanket, I believe every word he says. And believe me, I can't sit down and write up a teaching that he gives. I just can't do that. I have to sit hours just to hear what he has to say. So God said, children, you have crossed over into newness of life. All right. And the enemy would love to steal your freedom at this given time. God had me put up that sign. We have crossed over into 2023. Now, do you believe God or not? He says here, children, you have crossed over into newness of life, and the enemy would love to steal your freedom at this given time. Do not allow this. Do not allow this. Come up hither and dine with your Father. Stay one with me. I don't care what you came out of. You don't have to go back into it. And I know the enemy is tempting us. And, you know, I was angry there for a season, and then I got out of that, and anger started to come back again about a week ago. Now I'm fighting that again. We have to keep fighting, because the enemy's going to keep bringing stuff back to us and trying to keep us going into it so that we miss the mark. You don't give up to, oh, well, I guess I'm always going to be angry. No, because I never was an angry person. It's just it was a spirit. And you don't say, I'm always going to be angry. That's not true. That's not what God's word says. We are children of love. You know, and we don't bring strife. We bring hope. And we are a hospital. We don't destroy people. We minister to people. We build people up. So, quit allowing the enemy to make you believe that you're never going to make it, because he knows you, and he knows if you mean what you say or not. And if you say I'm making it, and all you're doing is just putting on a show, the devil knows that. The devil's saying, ha 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 ha, I've already got them on the run. Now, when you say I'm making it, it has to come to the very depth of your being. And when you tell the devil, get out of here, devil, you are not going to bring that junk back on me. He knows whether or not you mean that. Look what he did to Jesus when he tempted Jesus, and Jesus kept, and he knew who Jesus was, and you know all the things he said he was going to give to Jesus, but Jesus didn't only say it once. I forgot how many times he said, but he says, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. He knew who he was, and he did not get off of that path, that thought pattern. See, the body of Christ doesn't do that. The devil comes at you once, you say, get thee behind me, Satan. Then he comes again, get thee behind me, Satan. Then he comes a third time, well, maybe he's right. You know, you forget all about get thee behind me, Satan. You forget all about that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you start giving into the wiles of the devil. And God saying, don't give into the wiles of the devil any longer. Stay firm. And right now we're fighting. I mean, maybe you're not, but I know I'm fighting with every ounce in me to stay above, to keep my head above water. But I know I'm going to make it, but I can't stop. I can't give up. I can't sit down. I have to keep on fighting, let the devil know every day that I belong to God. And you know, it's awesome how God works, because every time I really have a really bad day of really fighting to stay on top, somebody will send me something encouraging. You know, it pulls you right up out of that mess, you know. And this is why we need the body, because God will let us know when somebody's down, and he'll let you know what you need to do to bring them up. And you know, and so we have to do this for each other, just not wanting to heap on you, but we do it for each other. And if you're really down and you just can't quite get up at that second, you need to contact somebody and say, this is where I'm at. And you know, this is, I just need some help here. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to do that. Jesus wanted the disciples to help him, didn't he, in the garden? He said, what, can't you pray for me for an hour or with me for an hour? He was asking for help. And the church has us believing we should never ask for help, and that is not true. You know, we have this so messed up. We don't have it messed up. We got it together. I mean, you know, the church has messed the church up so bad for all these years. And now God is trying to get us to encourage one another and to get out of the mess that the church has put us in. You know, and so each one of you, you know, I've told you, anybody comes in these doors, God sends them in here because he's going to use them to preach the word. And so that when you walk through the, well, I've had people say, I just can't deal with this. I've never had a battle in it like I do when I come to this church. The reason why you're battling is because the devil doesn't want you to learn the truth. And then so that he knows you're going to go out there and stomp him to death. But so many people, you're not strong in the Lord. It's a problem. And we have to become strong in the Lord. And really, truly, my late husband, he said one time to God, how come I can't do what others do? And then a prophet told him when he was prophesied, if you ask God this question, and God says it's because of the calling upon your life. I've set you apart and you have to be different than the others. The others are not going to be called to do what I'm calling you to do. So don't worry about what the others are doing. You be concerned what you're doing. And understand the harder you have to fight, that's how strong your anointing's going to be. And I'm sorry, but you don't know. I'm not even sorry. It's not worth it to give anything to the devil. I want that anointing, and I want to go out there, and I want to help set the captives free. How about you? I mean, a lot of people serve God for the wrong reasons. Do you know this is all about souls? You know, I when I first started teaching, became born again and started a church, I had a really good paying job. And one day God said, I want you to quit your job. And I said, I like my job. You know, I had money and everything. And it took me 6 months to quit my job. But God said, you quit your job, your paycheck for me will be greater than what the world will ever give you. I went into poverty. And see, his paycheck is souls. Has nothing to do with money. I would win many, many souls for him. And, you know, somebody else would have said, well, I'm just going to go back to work. I felt like saying that, but I couldn't do that because I'm called to save souls. That's what you're called to do. Yeah, I don't care how many big cars you have or how, what kind of big house you have, but the very first thing you're called to do is save souls. And then if God wants you to use people to bless you, he will. But your object is not to be rich. It isn't. It isn't to build big houses. You know, God to me one time, I want my house, you know, this house. I want it to be kept in proper order. I want it to be clean. He said, you take care of my house and I'll take care of yours. And a lot of people won't take care of God's house. And so they don't have nothing. Come on, saints. What did God say? Let me find that again. I lost it again. To be or not to be. Isn't that what he said? I lost a page. You have it up. Yeah. To be or not to be is a question of the hour to each one of you. Think about this right now. Are you going to be holy, righteous, committed child of God, or walk in the darkness? That is something you have to ask yourself tonight. What road am I on? And am I going to stay on that road? It doesn't matter what the enemy throws on that road. What kind of obstacle? Are you understanding this? He's going to fight you, dummy. The devil's not going to walk away from you. Do you know how long it's taken him to get where he's at today? I was reading the other day where, I'll say probably 10,000 years, I don't really know. I was reading where they found some artifacts that were 10,000 years old. And I said, wow, it's only been 2,000 since Jesus had been here. So 8,000 years before Jesus, you know, everything was still, the wheels were still rolling, right? So, you know, it took Satan a long time. He's not going to hand over his kingdom to you. You need to understand that. How long has he been working on your children? 20, 40 years? He's not going to say, oh, wait, by the way, okay, so you prayed here. Here's your children. He's not going to do that. We're going to have to fight him with everything in us. And we're going to have to fight with the attitude, I'm the winner. I already have the victory. And then walk in that stance. Do you think the enemy's going to allow you to say, oh, well, God told me my kids are going to serve him and preach the word. Do you think you can say that and the devil's just going to walk away, so I'm already defeated? No, he's not. I know, because I experienced that. He's going to fight them all the harder. And, you know, one time my grandson was going through a terrible time. He said, why am I going through this? And God spoke up and said that it's because I was preaching the word. And he said, Mom, keep on preaching the word. Please don't stop. I'll go through this pain. And now it's reversed. You know, and God said that he's going through what he's going through. No, I'm going through what I'm going through with him because God's trying to turn me against my grandson. See how that works? I mean, he's conniving every day of the year to destroy you. He knows where your heart's at, and so he's going to deal with the things that's in your heart. You know, that's why God said, give it to me. Don't take it back. I don't take anything back, but I know I have to pray. I know I have to fight. God expects us to do that. We just can't lay down and play dead. You know, Isaiah likes wrestling, and sometimes I think that's the way the devil's wrestling with us, what they do in the ring. Slaps us down, throws stuff at us, and does all kind of evil against us, right? So, to be or not to be is a question. Have you made up your mind yet what you're going to do? I talked enough for you to make up your mind. Are you really going to follow God with all your heart, your spirit, and your soul? If you are, come up here, because God's going to do something different to you tonight.